in the booth, and I'm Sean Booth, and this is a very special episode, you guys. We are officially parents. Locke's Booth arrived last week, and we have had the greatest week ever. We're going to get into all of that. And with me today in the studio, we have the lovely mother herself, Dre Joseph, who's recovering greatly. And very special guest, we have Dr. Pooja Sangani, who helped us deliver the baby. So she was there for it. It has been the absolute best ride ever. We've got your questions. We're going to dive into everything, get into Pooja's background, and take you behind the scenes, maybe not too much behind the scenes, with the delivery and get into all of that fun stuff. So here we go, kicking it off in the booth. Dr. Sangani, how long have you been an OBGYN for?
Technically, probably 6.5, 7 years almost now.
Okay. Yeah. And is something you've always wanted to do?
No. I thought I was going to be a doctor since I was really young, but OB was never on my radar whatsoever.
Really?
Never. I thought I was going to be a pediatrician through and through. Then I got to med school. And when you're in med school, you do these rotations where you try to figure out what you want to be. And I quickly learned that peds was not for me. Could not deal with it. And so I fell in love with OB. That was my next rotation and loved it. There's a lot of different things about OB. You get to be in the office with patients, you get to deliver babies in the hospital, and then you also get to be in the OR and do all the surgeries that are associated with it. So right. A lot of different things.
Yeah. And so I think that it is a very high stress level job. Like it is a very crucial thing to deliver a baby. There are so many things that can go wrong. And this is something that Dre and I have talked about for the past week now, is that we feel so fortunate, so blessed and lucky that everything went right for us to have our lovely kid with us, where we're like, man, so many things have to go wrong. Do you feel a lot of pressure with your job?
I mean, it's definitely high stress. However, most of the time, 90% of the time, OB is really fun, really happy. And then the 10% of the time where it's, you know, things can go wrong, that's when it becomes stressful. But for the most time, that's what we're trained to do, is to deal with all of the issues that come along the way. And we always work with, you know, great nursing staff, great other staff members that are there that really support us. So,
yeah. And great nursing staff cannot be understated. We were at St. Thomas and they had the absolute best nurses every night, day shift. Everybody was fantastic. It made us feel right at home. And Dre, you can attest to that as well.
Oh, yeah.
From the first night we got there, on Monday night, we went in at 8 o'clock and you went in to get induced.
Mm-hmm. On my due date.
On your due, the night before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The night before, because we wanted him to come on the due date.
So a lot of people have asked what the decision-making process was behind that. And it's something that me and you have talked about. And it's a lot of discussions that we've had with Dr. Sangani. I think I've probably had more questions every time we met with her. She's probably like, all right, this guy's annoying. But always trying to like make sure we're doing the right thing, because there's so much information out there. And a question for you, doctor. When people are trying to get inductions, what do you recommend? Obviously, it's case by case, but I've heard a lot of people say that you want to wait longer for the baby to develop instead of trying to rush things before their due date. Is there any accuracy to that?
Well, I mean, it's, again, case by case. Mm-hmm. If there's some sort of medical indication, like if you have high blood pressure or diabetes or something wrong with your placenta or something like that, where you need to be delivered earlier, whether it be, you know, early term, so 37, 38, 39 weeks, then we do it. Some people even have to be delivered at 34 weeks. So it just all depends. But normal, healthy pregnancies, anything after 39 weeks is totally fine. Elective inductions, elective C-sections, all of that is fine.
Do you feel like elective inductions are becoming popular? Like, do you have a lot of patients that want to do that?
A lot of patients do want to do that. A lot of patients want to schedule a time, just because everything is so unpredictable. And so it makes it a little bit like you're controlling when things are coming. Can get a lot of times when people have other kids too, to kind of get childcare straightened out. And so lots of different reasons. But yeah, it's definitely becoming more popular.
Yeah. I wanted to go at 39 weeks, but dad over here didn't want to take him out any earlier. And not that I think there's a huge difference between 39 and 40.
Not a whole lot.
But We let him cook all the way. I didn't want him to overcook because I think I definitely would have gone for another few days. Although I was a lot more dilated than anticipated.
Yeah.
And contracting more than I think I even realized when we went in. So
yeah, that's always helpful.
I know. Yeah. I think that's what helped speed the process up. But a lot of people were telling me when I had said that I was going to go get induced, you know, of course, people on the internet love to give their opinion, that don't do it. It's going to be so much more painful. I wish I wouldn't have done it. Let them go. But isn't there also a danger of like once you hit 40 weeks, risk of something happening start to increase the longer you go after your due date?
Right. So the risk of stillbirth goes up after 41 weeks and definitely much more after 42 weeks. I think there's differences with inductions depending on where you start with your induction. So you started at 40 weeks, but your cervix was actually what we call favorable, meaning you had already started, you know, dilating somewhat. And so that makes the process a little bit easier. A lot of people will deal with inductions that are very, very long. Yours from, I think, start to finish was less than 24 hours.
Yeah,
so
it was.
A lot of people's that beginning stage is just 24 hours. And then they start getting into the real active labor part. So it's very exhausting for some people. But
because they say the longest part is from 0 to the first like 4 or 5 centimeters.
That's 6 centimeters. Okay, yeah. And then you're inactive.
Which
and
is your true body, because I sped up.
Right. Yeah. You went real quick after
that. It was crazy.
Yeah.
Because you came in and you were 4, right? We got there around 8, 9 p.m.
Yeah.
And then you were just hanging out. We were in our room and they
the
gave you
what Cytotec.
Right? Cytotec. What's the first one?
When you first came, I think we started with Cytotec. Yes. I think we were like 2-ish. Mm-hmm. And then you got to 4 immediately after that first dose. And then we gave you some Pitocin.
And the nurse said, she was like, you know, you're contracting a couple times within 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, really? I had no idea.
Yep.
And then the Cytotec did pick them up. The pain picked up. I was having to breathe through them, but it wasn't anything I couldn't handle.
Right.
I just said, before we get to anything I can't handle. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. Might as well.
Yeah.
And so we were in the room and it's probably 2 a.m. and trying to lay down. I'm like, all right, I'm going to try and get like some sleep here. And those couches weren't terrible. I'll say a lot of people were telling me, bring your own blow up mattress. I'm like, I will never bring my own blow up mattress.
The room was
I feel
big
like
enough.
You would judge me. Everybody would judge me and be like, all right, this lady's about to give birth. This guy's got a blow up king mattress over here. It'd be insane. So I was finally getting some shut eye, and I was up at 4 a.m. that day working. And then the night nurse comes in. She's like, I just want to check you one more time. And then she goes to check you and she's like, whoa, we've got a full head of hair. And we were both just like, that just sent shockwaves throughout my body, adrenaline kick. Cause it was like the first thing we actually knew about our baby. We don't know if it's a boy or a girl, but we knew that the baby had hair. And the night nurse was like, this baby is probably going to be here before the end of my shift. And I was like, what time does your shift end? And she's like, 7 a.m. I was like, holy crap, here we go. Didn't come that early. So then we were up for the rest of the night. And then at what time did you get the Pitocin? That's like the money stuff, right?
Mm-hmm. Do you usually wait until people are a certain amount dilated before you get Pitocin?
At least 3-ish centimeters or so. Yeah. It all just depends. It's all like witchcraft that we do back there, you know?
Yeah, that's just like one. Right.
Yeah. Just it's like we'll give a little bit of this, a little bit of this, see what works kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah. I know. She did come in and say that she could feel the head of hair through the cervix. Mm-hmm. And she said, you know, my cervix was thinning well.
Yeah.
And then the minute that she called you and you said, okay, we'll go ahead and start the first dose of Pitocin. And it was at that moment that I said, you know, I don't think I need to feel Pitocin contraction. Yeah. I'm all good. So that was around probably 5 a.m. we called for the epidural.
Yeah. And that's what you were most nervous about.
I was most nervous about the epidural.
Yeah. Labor was not a big thing. Just the epidural.
Yeah. Just the epidural. Yeah. I'm not kidding. The pushing, the even like the tearing, all of that. I was not worried, but I was really worried about the epidural.
Yeah.
And that was probably the worst part.
But then it's magic, right?
It is magic. Yeah. It worked. But of course, I've heard horror stories. I mean, I had a really good friend who it failed 3 times and she ended up going in under general because they couldn't, you know, she went in for a C-section and all this, you know, this terrible things. Like we said, that so many things have to go right.
Right.
But I mean, that epidural was, the lady who came in and did it was incredible.
Right.
I mean, absolutely incredible.
Yeah. We have great anesthesia staff. Yeah. They're there 24/7. And so, they're great.
She was quick and it's just you know, you're not used to feeling something going into your back.
Right.
And the thing that hurt the worst was the numbing shot before.
Right. Yeah. Cause once you're numb yeah. and then it's just a lot of pressure.
Yeah. 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 So, and that thing, whew, did it work?
And that's something that you kind of leave up to the patient if they want an epidural or not.
Right.
And benefits are obviously you don't feel much. Mm-hmm. Cons are also you don't feel much.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. That was
so it can be like plus or minus, like especially when you're like pushing. Some people like to feel it or it helps them feel it. So it helps them have a target mm-hmm. to like how to push and where to push.
I could see
others, that. It does the opposite. It doesn't help them relax at all. So it actually prevents them from delivering quicker.
Really?
So it can kind of go both ways for them.
Okay. Yeah.
Also, you have to think about like after the baby's out and then you have a tear to fix and yeah. all of that.
Yes.
Some people don't realize and okay, you now don't have an epidural. And so now we have to numb you and things like that. So usually we try to get pretty good, adequate pain control, but yeah. it's not as good as an epidural when it comes to that.
Because when I, through the chaos of everything, jumping forward and then we'll jump back, but about you stitching, mm-hmm. I looked down and saw you doing that. But in that moment, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm so thankful that right. I can't feel anything because it's so crazy and things are moving around. But I wouldn't have even known you were doing anything unless mm-hmm. I looked down and you were just going like, and it was quick.
Yeah.
Everything happens just so fast. Mm-hmm. And yeah, the epidural was a wild experience. I couldn't move my leg from one end of the bed to the other.
Yeah.
It worked like a charm. Highly recommend. Team epidural.
Yeah. And so during this process, what are you doing? So when you're on call,
yes.
you obviously got to be close to the hospital. Mm-hmm. And so for somebody like us, we've worked with you for months prior. And so we let you know what time we're going in and you're just kind of on standby working with other patients during the night or like during the night you're sleeping near the hospital.
So I live about 12, 15 minutes away from the hospital.
Okay.
We have access to like looking at everything at home. So gotcha. On my laptop, I can look at what your baby looks like the entire time.
Oh, wow.
And so periodically I will check. The nurses are also out on at their desk. They only have one to two patients max. And so it's very much like one-on-one care. And so they look at all of the look at the strips at all times. And if they are concerned, then they will also call me if at any point when I'm not looking at it or whatever mm-hmm. it may be.
Right.
But yeah, so we're all trained in the same way to look at these mm-hmm. in a certain way.
Yeah, because I think yeah. it's always like a little nerve-wracking because I immediately go to, I believe the movie's Father of the Bride. And when they go there and the guy, they have the wrong doctor. They're like, who is this guy? And like the other doctor's out of town. So that's something I've always wondered. I'm like, you just got to be close by.
Yeah, you got to be close by. We also have a hospitalist mm-hmm. in-house at all times. So we have a doctor that works there, a laborist that is there 24/7. Okay. And then there's also another one there that works in the GYN emergency room area too. So there are two doctors there at all times if need any help for an emergency. Because sometimes yeah. that happens.
I fight
the doctors, yeah. yeah, if someone comes in through the emergency room and needs to be delivered immediately or there's an emergency of some sort and the main doctor's on the way, but it needs to be done quicker than that. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. Interesting. Yeah. So that was kind of a peaceful night. And then I was going back and forth to the waiting room where some of our family was. And then there was another couple there and it was Sean Johnson's parents. And it was just us and the Johnsons in the East. And they actually delivered a baby boy literally two doors down from us the same morning, which was fun. So every time we're going back and forth in the waiting room, me and Andrew would run into one another, which was super cool. And so now you had the Pitocin, and that's when we started feeling like things were really starting to pick up.
I wasn't feeling anything.
Yeah. You were just.
But it was kicking in.
But yeah. it was kicking yeah. in.
And you could see on the screen, right? The contractions
right.
on the screen.
Yeah.
And so then you're trying to wait for the contractions to get closer. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And how long do they typically last? Like.
I don't know. I couldn't feel it. Like,
yeah. 30 seconds to a minute usually.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so Dr. Sangani's in and out, just super casual. We're just like super casual hanging out.
We're playing music.
Yeah. Yeah, playing music. And then the nurse who was the day nurse was fantastic, who helped you pushing.
She amazing. Was
fantastic. Amazing. When did we start pushing again?
Well, they came and checked me and I was about 7, or maybe you did. I can't really remember now.
So I broke your water at yes. some point too.
Yeah. Yes.
So,
yeah. You broke the water mm-hmm. and then it was like,
which was, I could feel that little
Yep.
It was crazy. It was literally like a pop.
Yeah.
It was wild. It.
And then so that you were, what, around seven at that point? And you want to wait for them to get to 9 or 10 to start pushing?
10. Yep.
10. Okay. So and from then, 7 to, I remember we were.
So quick.
So, yeah, super fast.
I mean, I think 45 minutes went by and the nurse came and she kind of looked at the screen and she said, it looks like you're progressing. Right. So I'm going to check you one more time. And then she's like, oh, you're at 9.5. And I remember I was so relaxed. I was sitting there like, oh. And then I got super emotional.
Yes.
Not because I was like nervous or anything like that. It was just, oh, this is happening right now. We're about to start pushing.
Very emotional. Yeah. You start crying. And I was like, all right, I got to change out of my Crocs. I'm like, I don't want my babies to be wearing Crocs when they first come out. I was like, I need to eat food because I started getting nervous because everybody's like, don't pass out. And I was like, super pumped up. I drank a Celsius. And I was like, all right, don't pass out.
He's pacing. He's a pacer.
Pacing. And I was like starting to get emotional. And so it was like go time. So we were with that nurse and pushing for like an hour, hour and a half.
Yeah.
And so when you started pushing, she was doing like 3 sets of 10 seconds, like counting down from 10, 9, 8. And you're not really feeling anything.
No, I don't. I could see how women who don't want an epidural because they want to be able to like feel that you're bearing down, because I could at the beginning of a push and then it almost faded away. Mm-hmm. And I was getting so discouraged because I said, oh, there's just no way I'm doing anything.
Yeah.
But luckily I had my doctor and my baby daddy, basically other doctor, who was in the thick of it way more than we thought he was going to be.
He was like, I'm going to be back here. And there he was right there.
He looked one time. I remember when they asked you, thought crossed my mind, like, okay, he's going to look. Because I didn't have a mirror there yet.
Yeah.
And you didn't leave.
I know. I was in it. It was the weirdest, wildest thing ever, I think, because it's obviously when it's your kid, it's a different situation. But when I first got into the room, I like kind of got a little like nervous because I walked over to the bed and she was sitting there. I was like, oh, wow. Like, I'm going to be able to see everything. Like, this bed's really short. Yep. And I was like, maybe I'll stand a little bit further back. And then I remember when you were pushing and I wasn't watching, I wasn't looking. And then one of the nurses said, do you want to look, Dad? And I was like, all right, like pump myself up. And I took a look and I was like, all right, that's not that bad. And I could see, so like the head kind of just coming out a little bit, like the top of the head, it got to that point and then it'd come in. Top of the head. And so from that point on, I was just like staring down there.
It's hard not to look, right?
Tapping my 10, 9.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was amazing. It was wild. It was the craziest thing. And we were pushing for an hour and a half, I would say.
I would get discouraged because I just kept saying, am I doing anything? And he would, at the end of push, he'd be like, you really made progress on that one.
Yeah, that was a good one. Yeah.
And so you're like kind of just hanging close by.
Yeah.
And then the whole point is to get past the pelvic bone,
the
right?
The pubic bone. Yep.
Okay, so she was having a little bit of trouble getting to that point. Mm-hmm. You started getting discouraged.
That's the hardest part, though.
I know.
So, yeah.
How long do people typically push for?
I mean, it varies. It can be, you know, 30 minutes. It could be 4 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you were right there. I mean, an hour and a half for a first-time mom is great. It's great.
If someone would have told me I was going to push for an hour and a half, in my brain, I would have said, that is the longest
crazy
amount of time.
Yeah.
In the moment,
right,
feels like. Yeah. Now looking back, feels like 20 minutes.
Right.
Because there's just so much happening. It did not feel like an hour and a half, even though I was like, oh my gosh, are we getting anywhere? Are we getting anywhere? Mm-hmm. Still did not feel that long.
Yeah. So we are pushing. And then finally, you get that last push.
And I could feel it. You can feel them pass.
Right. Once you pass that pubic bone, it's really hard not to feel the pressure. You're the like, constant pressure.
Don't bear down. Yeah. I'm like, he's coming. Yeah. He's there.
And this was my favorite part, and I keep telling people, I'm like, it reminded me of like a NASCAR IndyCar pit stop. Like, you just started throwing scrubs on, like carts are getting wheeled in, and nurses are kind of just running around. It's like, holy crap, it's happening.
Thank God he's like putting on the shirt and putting on the boots.
And it's like very emotional. Yeah. It was so quick. And then at that point, from then till delivery, it was probably only a few minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like four big pushes.
Yeah.
So in your end, you're getting ready and you are obviously looking for the head to come out first, which we knew was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything else you're thinking at that point like what could go wrong, or you're just like, once you get that head, you're ready to pull the baby out?
Yeah, I mean, we essentially, a few things can go wrong, like, you know, tearing, of course. So we try to make sure we protect your perineum during that part.
Which I do think slower wins the race. Like, slow and steady wins the race when it comes to that.
Right, because the more you stretch, the less, like, immediate tear.
Yeah.
And then, of course, there's always that risk of, like, the shoulders getting stuck or something like that. But there was no issue with little locks, so.
Yeah, and so, like, Sean's favorite party. It was wild because also there was a nurse, and it was so funny because, like, thinking back at it, it was hilarious because she was standing there and she goes, "I think it's going to be a girl." And then nobody said anything to her. And then we're all like, and she's like, "I don't know what it is." Because we kind of looked at her like maybe she thought she knew what it was. And so she goes, "I think it's going to be a girl." And from where I'm standing, I just see the head coming out and the head coming out and the head and the head. I'm like, that is the longest head I've ever seen because I didn't prepare myself for the cone shaped head. So all I saw was the back of the head, and then head turned, and then my heart sunk because the baby's not breathing yet and eyes are just closed, mouth is closed, not really moving. And then I felt like you just like went in there real quick. I thought his shoulders were stuck, but you're saying the shoulders weren't really stuck.
No, you just kind of guide the baby out.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So then you got him out, and then
you see, like, Sean in the video, he stands up really straight and like looks down at the baby because he says the baby's just like,
yeah.
Right. Because they're not, they still haven't taken their first breath yet, right? Don't you have to?
As they come out, they do. Yeah. But yeah.
Okay. Because
but they
crying.
Look really still and
not making any noise. Right. Yeah. And then she's like, "All right, are you ready, Dad?" And then she just turns the baby over. And I was super nervous because our friends had a few babies and they didn't find out the gender until that moment as well. And the dad was talking to us. He goes, "For one of my girls, I didn't know what it was." He's like, "I couldn't tell if it was a penis or a vagina." And I had, and the doctor was like, "Are you ready, Dad? Call it out." And he's like, "I don't know what it is. Can you like help me?" So I was like, "All right, I got to focus here. I got to focus." And the whole time I'm thinking it's a girl. And the Greatest Showman song comes on.
Oh, yeah. I don't know if anybody in the room
noticed this, but I kept on rewinding it because I was like, this is such a good song. It's such like a powerful song. This is me. I'm like, the lyrics were fantastic. I'm like, I want a girl to come in here like a strong, proud woman, like all this.
He kept rewinding it.
Yeah, because I didn't know what song was next either. I was like nervous, like Nelly would come on right after that. Like, and I'm like, I want her first song to be really cool. And it's like, this is me, here I am. And so then she turns him over and I'm like, oh my God, that's a penis. Like immediately my eyes just went there, and we'll play the audio for you right now.
Oh my goodness. Ready? Here we are. Oh my God. What is it?
Lox is here.
Oh, my God.
was the pool. Oh my God.
You couldn't get the words out.
I couldn't get the words out because I was so shocked. Dr. Sangani was like, what is it, Dad? And I'm like, it's Lox is here.
Yeah.
Just complete
the coolest thing ever.
Shock. And you were just.
And your face was way more shocked than I anticipated.
Oh.
Yeah.
Because I would have bet my life.
Yeah.
It was a girl. There was just so many things that pointed to girl. People were telling me that it was a girl. You, we thought that you like accidentally told us that it was a girl. And there was just all of these things. And it was like a gut thing I thought I had. And then when he said that, all I kept saying was no way, no way, no way, over and over and over and over. And I was like, I probably sound like a psycho, but you're there's like, just no way.
Yeah, you're like, I always wanted a boy.
I know.
Yeah.
I can say this now.
So sweet.
I can say this now that I wanted it to be a boy so bad.
Yeah.
And I'm so thankful.
Yeah.
And so in that moment for you, like that must be fun because you're the only one there who knows what it is.
Right. Yeah.
And you thought that we thought it was a girl.
Mm-hmm.
And then like shortly after we even said something to you, you're like, I wouldn't slip. I would never slip. And
did you just laugh at us every time, the knowing that we thought it was a girl?
I mean, it's, you know, you just go along with it.
Yeah. Because now you look back at the clip that we posted.
Yeah.
And so when you, so do you just resort to he or she or just comes out?
I honestly don't even remember saying her. It's not, I always try to say there. I don't know if it was like my West Virginia accent that like was slurring like a there sometimes. Or a her or something like that.
Well, I was like, maybe she had a girl right before us.
Yeah.
And they were just talking.
And I like make a point when I look at each chart before I go in and see you. Like each patient that if it's a secret gender, I put in like big bold letters like secret gender, and I never put the gender on top. I have to actively scroll down to remember it. So I'm not sure what happened there, guys, but I'm glad I did the wrong gender.
I know.
You know?
Yeah.
Does that really happen? But then at that same appointment or another appointment, we were convinced we saw a penis. So we were like, maybe she did that to counteract the fact that we saw
it was all a plan.
It was all a plan.
Yeah, we were obviously just overthinking every little thing. So I want to show you the video that we took. And how early on are you able to tell?
This was really early.
If it's a penis or not.
I mean, we really confirm it at 20 weeks, but you can see it earlier than that.
Okay.
I don't think.
And while I pull up this video, do you think that it's becoming more common for people to now wait for surprise gender? Because I feel like the gender reveals have become so extreme that people are kind of going the opposite direction.
Yeah, I think the fact that you can find out so early now, like at 10 weeks, I think more and more people are waiting. Yeah, for sure.
It makes
it a little bit more fun. Yeah.
It's the best.
All right, so look at this photo right here. That's his head, arm, legs. What's that shiny thing in the middle there?
I don't think that's a penis. I'm not sure exactly what that is, but it would not be that bright and that big.
That's what I said.
Don't listen to them, Lox.
That is exactly what I said. I said, if that is a penis, we have issues.
Yeah. Okay, so maybe the umbilical cord?
Yeah, maybe.
Which is what I said the whole time.
Yeah.
So it was, it went from very emotional and everybody's like, did you cry? Like there's parts where I like kept on like holding my tears back. I'm like, all right, gotta be strong. Gotta get through this. And then I was like getting ready for waterworks. And then I went into complete shock once Lox came out.
Yeah.
And it was the coolest feeling ever. And I highly recommend if anybody's on the fence about thinking if they want to wait, I think it is the greatest surprise you could have, and there's not many surprises left, and that's what everybody told us, and we can confirm it was the best decision. I think
I'll never find out again.
Yeah,
ever. And that was your idea. Yeah. And I commend you because it was the
you
best
didn't
idea
do it.
I didn't want to do it, but I'm so glad that we did. It was awesome.
So then, all right, so the baby comes out, and then like Dre was saying, everything is so fast.
Mm-hmm.
You hand off the baby to Dre and they get some skin-to-skin time, right? And then they take the baby back to do the testing. But you're still working. Like, Dre was like, did you see everything that came out of me? And I think I was so in the zone and so focused on the gender. Like, all that stuff in the background I didn't even, like, focus on or see.
Mm-hmm.
But you're still working. So immediately after you get hand off the baby, you're then sewing her up.
Delivering the placenta and then evaluating for tears and then sewing up. Yep.
Okay. So delivering the placenta, is that something that just comes out pretty easy?
Usually. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I didn't even think about that part.
Yeah.
He asked me yesterday. He's like, did you see your placenta? I was like, what? No, did you? He's like, yeah, I took a look in the bucket.
Yeah. I walked by.
I was like,
no,
it's pretty gnarly. Busy.
Yeah. It's gnarly. Yeah.
Yeah, it's gnarly.
And so that for you has got to be, I mean, I think about how rewarding of a job that is. And like your profession is so freaking cool because you're in there with these people. It's emotional and it's like, we have this bond now for the rest of our lives. You delivered our baby.
You're the first person to touch him, to know his gender.
Yeah. And like, how cool is that going home and just like, you're doing that multiple times a day. Like how many babies do you deliver a day?
It depends. But this week there's been 7.
Okay.
Yeah. So, but yeah, it never gets old.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't imagine.
And I was asking on one of my visits, I don't know if you were the one that told me, but I was wondering if there's like a busy season for babies. And somebody said that ever since COVID, you guys have just been nonstop.
Yeah. I mean, we had like a huge COVID load where people were just staying home and having sex, you know?
Yeah.
Can't go getting outside. Pregnant. So getting
Nothing
pregnant.
Else to do.
That's what does it.
Yeah. That's crazy. So then Lox comes out and then he does his Agar. That's the right?
Adgar.
Testing?
Apgar.
Apgar. Yeah. And that is like, testing the color, breathing,
heart rate. Yep.
Okay.
All the things.
Yeah. So then that went all smooth again, like just smooth sailing. Would you look back at ours delivery and be like, yeah, that was like very smooth?
Yes.
Like,
for sure. Yeah. The whole thing. Pregnancy.
Yeah.
All of it. Yeah.
Yeah. You did good, Mama.
He did come out looking like he had been in the boxing ring for 6 rounds. I mean, that first picture of him, we look at it now. I mean, and in the moment, you know, like, you're like, he's beautiful.
Yeah.
And I look back now, I'm like, don't ever show that picture to anybody ever. He's ugly. Yeah. And he doesn't look like that.
Right.
But he's blue and swollen.
Blue, swollen, cone head.
Yeah.
Oh, we had never discussed the cone head.
Right.
So I knew that, you know, when they sit in the birth canal and I was pushing for an hour and a half, like, they're going to come out, it will go back. We had a friend of ours who was there in the waiting room, Caleb Gamblin. He's been on the show. And he came in, saw the baby. And the next day or the next couple of days when he saw that the baby's head had gone back, he said, man, I went home. I couldn't sleep that night. I thought, is somebody going to tell them that their baby's head looks like a cone?
Yeah, because he said he's only been around babies who have had C-section deliveries. So he's never actually seen a baby like that. And I haven't. I don't know if I've ever seen, well, obviously not up that close, but yeah, his head was it looks like the size of a
really
football.
Wasn't that bad.
It was
in the grand
big.
Scheme of cones.
Yeah. So, but then it just comes back to its normal shape within like 48 hours.
Yeah.
Crazy how much they change in that first like 24 to 48 hours.
Yeah.
Wild.
And even now, like his head, like I feel the top of his head, it feels like there's a big hole there. Is it still like his skull forming?
Everything is still fusing.
Yeah.
Yeah. He asked me that sitting on the couch. He's like, you can feel right here.
Yeah.
He's like, that's going to come together, right?
Right.
Like, yep.
Yep.
They're going to grow together. That's how it works.
Yeah. And so then we go into the recovery room, right? And a big discussion we've had on this podcast as well is, are we going to let our kid go to the nursery? And you probably think I'm crazy for this, but I'm like, there's so many people online who are like, don't bring your kid to the nursery for all different types of reasons. People are like, they switch babies or they shoot up your kids with vaccines you don't want. You don't know what they're doing. So the first night we were like, they asked us if we wanted to bring Lox to the delivery or the
clarify. I was team. We should take advantage of that.
Yeah.
Because they'll take him to the nursery. I want to be able to sleep and not worry about him sitting in the bassinet next to me going, is he breathing? Is he breathing? Is he breathing? Because I already think like that. And someone will be watching them. It'll be great. Sean was like, absolutely not. He's not leaving my sight and was adamant about it.
Mm-hmm.
Then what'd you do?
Then I was like, all right, this might sound crazy, but is there any way I could like go to the nursery with you guys and just check it out? And they're like, yeah, you can come with us. So then they walk me down the hall and they show me. I'm like, all right, that looks cool. Like, let's do it. And then the baby goes there for, I think you can only do 3 hours at a time, max, something like that. And then they bring him back.
And I'm feeding him. I'm in the middle of feeding him. And I get done. And the baby's like kind of getting restless. And Sean's like in his sleep on the couch. He's like, you're going to call the nurse, right, to take him back to the nursery? I'm okay. Now we want him to go back.
I was like, yeah, you can bring him back.
He said it multiple times. Every time that Lox would come back in, he'd be like, Dre, call her. tell him to take it to the nursery. I'm like, we're getting there, Dad. We're getting there.
And he's been fantastic. And then I left to go get you Chick-fil-A is the first meal you wanted.
Yeah.
So I left the hospital and just completely just exhausted and adrenaline is just shot. And I was walking down the hallway and I heard a baby just howling, like screaming. I was like, I hope that's not Lox. And I kept on walking down the hallway. I was getting closer and closer. I was like, oh my gosh, I think it's Lox. And like, you could hear this baby throughout the entire hallway. I was like, oh no, it is. And I open the door and I walk in the room, my head's down. Then I put my head up and there's some random dude and a mom there. I was in the wrong room. I was like, I'm sorry, guys. Yeah. So it wasn't Lox, and that baby kept me up all night.
Yeah. That baby cried next to me.
The irony of that. But we were telling you earlier that for the first week now, he's been like the chillest baby ever. Like he sleeps good. When he's up, he's alert, just looking around. Doesn't really cry unless we like take him out of his blankie. And you said that's not really that normal, right? Like,
yeah, I mean, that means you got a good one.
Yeah. We got a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah, we keep saying we're waiting for the storm to come.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now exactly. We're like, oh, it
takes usually takes a lot longer to kind of like get a whole sleep pattern going here. But
yeah, he would sleep for 5 or 6 hours if I let him. Sometimes he wakes up, but he never really like wails.
Yeah.
Like cries.
Getting into the feeding, do you deal with anything with that? Or is that like they obviously have other nurses who deal with all like latching?
Right. We have our lactation consultants and all of that to deal with all the feedings. And
okay.
Yeah. They were wonderful.
Yeah.
They I met wonderful. With them twice before I left.
And he's been great latching on. And so now you have to feed him like every 2 to 3 hours, correct?
Mm-hmm. Until it's back up to their birth weight. But then some people I know that are moms are like, you don't have to do that. They're like, it's fine. They'll get back up to their birth weight. No big deal. I'm like, well, I'm going to do it.
Yeah, I would defer that to the pediatrician for sure.
Yeah.
He said to do it.
Yeah.
How much do you think their birth weight and height correlates to their like actual height and
I
weight?
I could not tell you, friend.
Yeah.
She's like, I just like
hand the baby off.
Yeah. Yeah.
Told you I didn't go into peds.
Yeah. He was 7 pounds, 14 ounces because somebody in the room was like, oh, it's a big boy. And I was like, yes. And then they put him on the scale. I was like looking. I was like, come on, keep going. I want to see an 8 in front of that. And then he said like 7'14". But he's awesome. And we got a bunch of questions for both of you guys here that we're going to go through now on social media. First one for Dr. Sangani. What is the hardest parts of your job?
Like I said, the 5 to 10% of times when things go wrong, it can go really wrong. Mm-hmm. But I think the time that I get with the patients beforehand to build that relationship, for 9-10 months beforehand, helps them and helps me get through those really hard times.
Yeah.
But sometimes things can go really wrong. It's no fun.
Yeah, absolutely. Breastfeeding or formula? We said that we're doing breastfeeding.
Yeah, I am. Right now I'm switching off. I breastfeed on one, I pump on the other, and then he gets a bottle in the morning and a bottle at night so Dad can have some feeding time too.
Yeah.
And he's doing great.
Eating like a champ. Was it harder than what you expected or was it easier than what you expected?
Easier than what I expected because I think I got the epidural so early.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Give yourself some credit too. You killed it.
Yeah. Right? Oh, thank you. Thank you. Yeah. It was great. It was easier. It was. I think I built up a lot of stuff in my head. And I've had several friends that have had smooth deliveries say that. I obviously know that everybody's story is very different. And I've had friends that have had not smooth deliveries. But a lot of people have said that the actual laboring portion and pushing wasn't near as crazy as they anticipated.
Yeah.
Most of them having an epidural.
Yeah. And this is a question we had for you. They were talking about earlier. So you said you want to have kids one day.
Yep.
So what does that look like? Who gets to deliver your baby? You're going to pick and choose at the hospital.
Yeah, I actually, hopefully soon, but one of my partners is my obstetrician.
Okay.
So she will deliver our baby whenever that comes. I feel like anybody in the medical field, there's always a curse. We call it the nurse curse or something. So something tends to always go wrong, but we also tend to be the worst patients. We try to control every little thing, but hopefully I can be chill. So we'll see.
Yeah.
I think it'll be great.
TBD.
Do you think it's harder or scarier knowing the things that go wrong versus?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Cause just us regular people, we're just like, all right, let's do it. Let's go deliver a baby.
Yeah.
But you've seen everything. So. But you also know how everything works.
Right. Yeah. So I think it's 50, it's both. Like, you know, you can be, it can make things a lot worse because you know what can happen, but also you know what can happen. So you feel a little bit reassured.
Yeah.
How many kids do you want?
I don't know. Maybe two, hopefully.
Okay. Yeah. I want like 15 kids now for last week. Yeah. Last week was awesome. Like, yeah.
It's, gotta ask Dre about that.
Yes. We'll see after another week. A lot of breastfeeding questions. So I suppose that a lot of women have trouble with that, right? And then we talked about before. And if you can't breastfeed, you got to go right to formula.
Yeah, but that's why we have options. I think we put, as women, put a lot of pressure on ourselves that breastfeeding is better and the only option. And that's what we should be doing. That's what everyone tells us we should be doing. Yeah. But a lot of women can't do it. And that's why, you know, and that doesn't mean you failed or don't want to do it. I mean,
I've had friends that just didn't want to.
Yeah, and that's okay. That's why, you know, there's formula.
And you are just getting to the point, too, where you get, like, super sore during the day. And
My nipples.
Yeah. Your body is your baby's.
Right? I don't want anything. Yeah. He owns everything. Yeah. Sean calls me the breastaurant.
The breastaurant. Here we are. And getting to a little bit of the recovery, something you said after when we were home, Dre, is that you never really thought about the recovery, right? You kind of just had like the finish line was the labor, the delivery. And you're like, nobody really talks about the aftermath.
I woke up the next morning and I was like, woof.
Yeah.
Like I was like, once the epidural wore off, I was like, this is rough. I got in the shower and cried a little bit at the hospital. I was like, this is really, that was the worst I'd felt, pregnant, labor, all of it. Right. But then you really do heal. Relatively quickly. Like once another day went by, I was like, okay, wait, I feel good. And then, you know, 72 hours later, I wasn't as swollen. I obviously like can feel that I have stitches, but it is right away. It was a shock to my system because I think I had felt so good. I was like, oh my gosh, this is worse than carrying the baby. This is terrible. But you do heal quickly.
Body's pretty forgiving.
I know. It's crazy.
Describe your thought process, emotions, realizing it was a boy versus an expected girl. And I was talking about this week with my friends is that my thought process kind of changed. Like I kind of went into a different mindset knowing that it's a boy for some reason. Mm-hmm. Like I think it was, I don't know, like thinking of like a cute little sweet girl and how I would be with her. Still just as loving, obviously, but the mentality that I have now of it being a boy is definitely different. And I never really thought past the birth because I didn't want to, again, guess one direction. But when I was in the hospital showering, I was like, oh my gosh, like I get to, not that I can't do this with girls, but I'm like, I get to go to sporting events and play baseball.
I mean, that's different.
Yeah.
Experience like, when you have a son.
Yeah, yeah. Do all those dad things with a son, which is crazy. Now I just feel like it's right when I thought the whole time we were going to have a girl.
I still feel like she exists somewhere in the world. That was a really strange feeling is when I was unpacking the hospital bag and doing those things. The one thing about not finding out the gender is I like took out the girl's outfit. It had her name on it. And I kind of got a little sad. I was like, oh, she's not a thing. She's not a person. And it still feels like that she, you know, is in some way, but. That was a little sad.
How do you feel? This is for both of you guys. We'll start with Dr. Sangani. Working out during pregnancy.
I think you should do it. Especially depends on where you started, like where you were before pregnancy. I mean, I tell patients this is, you know, not the year you're going to win some sort of fitness competition or run a marathon, but this is, you know, you can still stay active and still do some weightlifting and still run and do all the things you normally would do. Mm-hmm. Just let your, you know, trainers or coaches, whoever there know so they can help adjust. But the more you do, the more like stamina you build and the better it's going to be for labor, whether or even a C-section, the better recovery too.
Yeah, because we have so many girls at our gym who've had kids and they've all said the same thing. They're like, I'm so glad I worked out and it helped me big time. And you were working out until like the day of practically.
Yeah, I would take like a week off here and there. But yeah, I tried.
Yeah.
It gets tough at the end.
Yeah.
And I posted a video of her doing like a workout and everybody's like, oh my God, what are you doing? She shouldn't be working out. And we were literally in your office. I'm like, it's fine if she's working out right now, right? You're like, yeah, it's fine.
So I'm going to take my doctor's word for it.
Yeah.
Especially if you're active before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was very much.
Yeah.
Exactly. I think the main thing, like you're saying, is your base level. If you weren't working out before, you shouldn't just jump into doing CrossFit workouts or something crazy. How did you come up with the name? Got a ton of questions on that. Mm-hmm. Locks, I'm from Windsor Locks, Connecticut. And one night Dre said, how about we just name him Locks? And I was like, I don't know. That's a little weird. I'm from Windsor Locks. He's like, yeah, that's why I said it. And I'm like, I don't know. And then it just grew on us and grew on me. And we stuck with that. And we had the girl's name right away, which we don't want to say.
Just in case a little girl comes along. It's my top girl name.
Yeah.
I don't want to
share. Yeah. But Locks is named after Windsor Locks, Connecticut. I think it's unique too. It's a strong name and it's got some meaning behind it. And I don't think there's any Lockses in the world.
I mean, I'm sure there's one in the world.
I know there's Lock.
Yeah. A couple of people have called him Locks and they ask us how we spell it, but we love it. I mean, I'm obsessed with his name.
Yeah.
It's a good one.
Let's see here. Favorite baby product so far?
Me? Oh. Favorite baby product so far? My portable breast pumps, the Mom Cozies, love them. And probably the Snuggle Me. We have two at the house and we take those things everywhere.
Yeah.
All he lays in.
Those are great. How was Sean's first dirty diaper changing? Have you got pooped on yet? The first one was wild and I was warned about this because everybody's like, it looks like space tar. And I'm like, and I opened that diaper and I was like, oh my gosh, this is terrible. And it was so much. And another thing, it's like when it's your kid, you don't really care as much. Like when you think about changing diapers, if you don't have a kid, you're like, oh, that's gross. Now you're just like, whatever. We change them every, couple hours.
Yeah.
But the other night I went to change him and with the boy, he peed and it was going right for my face and I dodged it out of the way and poor guy came back and just landed on his face and he just peed on himself. So we had to wipe it up.
And then he got you back two nights later.
And then the night after that, I was just laying down with him doing skin to skin, which I like doing every night. And all of a sudden I felt super wet and he peed and it looked like I had peed myself. My boxers were
drenched. None of it got on the bed or anything. His belly button was full.
Yeah. So yeah, I have been peed on.
I have a video of the first diaper change and you were like holding the wipe, not as confident as you do now. And you're like, oh, buddy, like just trying to like get it in there.
Yeah.
So gentle.
I know. He's like, oh, I don't know what to do.
I was also like, how have they not come up with any new technology on diaper changing at this point in life?
I think you just got to change it. What are they going to do? A robot that does it for you?
Yeah, that's true. How terrifying is birth? Not terrifying anymore.
Not terrifying to me. Not when you've got a Sangani.
That's right. A lot of the name questions. Did you feel prepared taking the baby home? Yeah, the baby, when we took him home, I just kind of felt like it was just like normal. Like, all right, let's go. Let's get out of here. I know a lot of people are like, it feels kind of weird just taking the baby home. Like, here
you
go.
I thought it felt weird.
You thought it felt weird?
Yeah. Because you go in as two, you come out as three, and it's for the rest of our lives.
Yeah.
Wild.
Yeah.
Like, you know it's coming, but then it happens, and you're like, what just happened?
Oh, yeah. God. You're like, I just kept looking at him being like, oh. Because you talk them up. You look at things you set up in the house, and you look at something that's empty, and you imagine a baby being there. And I was just looking at the bassinet today when he was laying in it, and I said, I stared at that thing for like 4 or 5 months, empty. And now there's a little newborn in it.
Yeah. Wild. One of the things I loved at the hospital was that because I'd always have to like go get food and stuff. And while Dre stayed in the room, I ran into so many dads like at the elevator and we're just having dad conversations. Be like, so how long she pushed for? And like just talking about all this baby stuff now. But it was wild hearing everybody's story from, you know, there was a couple there that wanted to do at home birth, which you can give your take on this. I think it's absolutely crazy because I'm like, if anything goes wrong, wouldn't you want to be at a hospital? Yeah. What do you think?
I agree. Like I said, there's so many things that can go wrong. Everything has to be right to have a home birth. And you have to have the right people there. And
So theirs didn't go right where the water broke. I think they said that they were at Walmart. And then you have something like 24 hours or else you get an infection. And
it increases your risk for it.
So then they came to the hospital and they said it was tough. So at home, I feel like I always hear horror stories about that.
It would scare me to death.
It'd be scary.
I want to be in a hospital with an IV just to, it doesn't even have to be hooked up to anything, but just in case Like if I needed blood, if somebody, if right. something happened.
And a lot of the experiences that people want at home is now offered at the hospitals yeah. with unmedicated deliveries and the birthing center
gotcha.
And all of that. So a lot of that we try to offer to kind of, you know, get those patients to come to the hospital.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I know people who do it who have three. I mean, I know every delivery can be different for even if you're the same person, but who have two or three really successful pregnancies and mm-hmm. deliveries. And then if they're, you know, their next one is going on the same track, that's when they'll try. Mm-hmm. Which I think at least, you know, you kind of think going into it, okay, I've done this before.
Right.
I've done it successfully. Mm-hmm. My body does it well. Mm-hmm. So I could see why people would want to do it. But personally, I'm going to be at the hospital with an epidural.
Postpartum. A lot of questions on that. Feeling anything?
Just anxiety that he's going to die or just I'm going to wake up and he's going to not be breathing or something's going to happen to him. I mean, I got to push the thoughts out of my head, every other thought. But I think everybody has that.
It is one of those things where as soon as you wake up, you're like, is he breathing? Is he breathing? Is he breathing? But then we also say too, like when we're moving him around, we're like, you know, we saw how the doctors get him out.
Or yeah.
Who told us that? I think a nurse at the hospital was like, you see how we move him around? Like he's not, obviously yeah. he's very fragile, but you guys are pulling him out.
I'm like, I think like, about how you just like got him out of there. I'm like, look, he was fine. Yeah, and we're fine. Like,
yeah.
When you first hold
yeah.
him.
It's nerve wracking, but he does sleep.
They're resilient.
Yeah, they're resilient. And he sleeps in his bassinet the first couple nights we had him in our bed.
In a snuggle me, in the bed.
Yeah.
It was in a snuggle me in the middle. I was having a hard time putting him far away from me. Not far away, but even just next to me. And yeah. then we made the transition.
Did you all do delayed cord clamping?
What is that?
We did.
Oh, we did?
Yeah. Where we waited for a minute and then we cut, and then you cut the cord.
Okay. What is the?
So that decreases risk of infection and anemia and has a lot of different benefits for the baby.
Huh.
So okay. as long as everything's okay, we do a minimum of 60 seconds.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Sean didn't get cut the first time.
I didn't. I had to cut two times.
You're like,
I
was a little bit more.
I was like, just. All over the place. And they're like, all right, dad, cut the cord. They hand you scissors. And I cut and I looked away and like, no, one more cut, dad. So it took me two. Not proud of that, but the cord just fell off a couple days ago, which
yeah.
is wild. With a little clip on it, right?
Yep.
I just looked down. It was gone.
Everyone. Yep.
I don't know where it is.
You're going to find it somewhere in your house.
Did Sean end up catching him? I did not catch him.
He was down there.
Yeah.
He could have.
Yeah.
A lot of comments saying how amazing you look, Dre. How great you look after recovering so quickly. A lot of asking for what's the biggest surprise. And I think right now, and everybody's different, but it's not as crazy.
Oh, God.
I know, I'm going to get lit up for this. No, it's hard, but not. I think every baby's different. I think we're just fortunate right now, the first week where he's been super chill. He's been feeding. He's been eating. We get hours of sleep at night, wake up for a couple minutes. At least I do. You got to stay up.
We don't wake up. But
yeah. So
you get woken up to go back to sleep immediately once I'm out of the room.
Yeah, exactly. So I think it's been great so far the first week. Dre, how do you feel?
I really do think it's been great. I think me healing well contributes to that. I could see if I was having super complications, how hard that would be to and take care of a newborn. But I'm healing well and he's feeding well and sleeping well. So we're just going to cross our fingers that we continue down this path.
Yeah. A lot of questions about getting induced and using epidurals. Like a lot of questions about that.
Would you recommend an epidural to people? Or are you just like whatever you want to do?
I mean, I think it's totally up to you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Would you get an epidural?
I am getting an epidural.
Okay.
All right. Do we feel like some people think that that affects the baby somehow with putting that in your body?
Yes. Some people think that it's going directly to the baby, which is not the case at all.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Okay. And anesthesia, and I always tell patients, like, you know, anesthesia can always come and talk to you and they will describe every little thing and interview you and you can ask them questions to really ease any of your concerns. But yeah, that's not the case.
If they had our anesthesiologist, everybody would get an epidural because she was fantastic. She talked to me through every single step, but without being crazy or weird about it. I mean, she was just absolutely incredible.
Yeah. Yeah, all the doctors or the nurses were like, she's been here for 15 years or something. Everybody loves her.
Mm-hmm. She told me I had a nice back.
Nice. Yeah. That's all they see. So, you know. Yeah.
Has your doctor ever slipped up on anybody else's gender?
No.
No. All right. That's good.
That was good.
100%. Here we go. Yeah. All right. There's early testing too. I spoke to a couple recently where they said that they got the testing done to their gender before the doctors even did. How accurate are those tests? Is it like a take home test?
I've had some patients say they have gone and gotten some tests. One of them said it was right, and then the other one said it was wrong.
Okay.
So I don't know the accuracy. I don't even know where to get them, but.
Do you want to, you're talking about control and being a doctor.
Yeah.
Would you want to know the gender?
I don't know yet. I don't
wait,
know.
Wait,
yeah.
Wait.
Yeah.
What do you think your husband would want to do?
I think he might want to know, but I don't know.
You know, I do hear that when we've talked to couples before, and a lot of the times the girl has been like, I would, but he won't.
Yeah.
And the guy's like, oh yeah, I just could never. I'm like, well,
yeah.
I feel like as a guy, they'd be like, oh no, it's fine.
It's
like,
fine, whatever. Yeah.
But it's so often to me, and the guy's like, oh, I just could never. And she's like, I would have waited. I'm like, ours was opposite, but
yeah,
highly recommend.
What would you want, a boy or a girl?
First, I don't know. I think I want a boy first.
Yeah.
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 But we'll see.
Have you delivered more boys or girls?
Oh, I have no idea. I have no idea.
Yeah.
Have you delivered twins?
Yes.
How's that process?
It's fun. You know, I've done a few C-sections with twins, of course, and then some of them also have vaginal deliveries, which makes it really fun.
Is it more common that they're cesarean than not?
So it depends on the kind of twins they are.
Okay.
So if they have like two sacs or two placentas, or if they're just one sac and one placenta, then that's definitely always a C-section. But if they're two sacs and two placentas, you could do a vaginal delivery.
Hmm. Have you delivered more than twins?
Triplets, no.
Hmm.
Yeah. I was hoping for twins. I got a lot of twins in my family.
Yeah.
No.
That wasn't the case.
Nope, just one.
Yeah.
Just one.
And how about for how quick and how soon people show versus other people? Again, it's probably just all different.
Yeah. It all depends on kind of like how you're built too and how you carry the baby. So.
Yeah. Okay. And then last question here. We had so many questions or so many people on the internet being like, oh, it's a boy because she's carrying this way, or oh, it's a girl because of this. I think that none of that matters at
right.
all. Can you
Because according
that?
To the carrying, I was having a girl 100%.
Yeah. People do like those little string tests.
Yeah.
I wish we would have done that now.
All of this other stuff. Yeah. Yeah. And you're just like, okay, well, it's 50-50. So
I know. Yeah. We would always say that. We're like... Really one or the other.
Yeah,
not
exactly. Right.
Yeah. Well, there you have it. We can't thank you enough, Dr. Sangani, for the best experience ever. You were fantastic. And thank you so much for helping us deliver little Loxy into the world.
I wouldn't have
wanted
anybody else.
Yeah.
Yes, it was so fun.
Yeah.
Yes.
What were your favorite?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, you guys. Thanks for listening. Team on three.